So this star tried to find out. After a couple of days, he found from a certain student, this is the student I see that fragrance coming from. So he says, by this fragrance that you are using, I want to buy the same fragrance. I don't want it free. You tell me where you are buying from, because I don't find it anywhere. You know, some fragrance and some ether is so captivating. As Haji Mawlana Masihullah Sahib once explained, that one of his relatives was being buried, you know. And such a sweet smell came out, that the one that was burying him, he says, you know, I was desirous of the fact that I could have slept with that mayyat there. It was so captivating, so captivating. I was afraid of the people around. But that fragrance was so much, it was so much that I couldn't contain myself. So anyway, this ustad couldn't resist and he asked the student. The student said, no, forget ustad, don't worry about it. So now you'll have to tell me, I'm your teacher, you'll have to tell me where you're getting this ether from. So the student cried and he says, you see, it was a secret. I thought I'll leave it between me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I won't divulge the secret, but you are my ustad and you're insisting, where did I get this ether from? You see, I'm a very handsome youngster, very, very handsome. As you see it, that I'm so handsome, right? And when I'm en route to the madrasa, then there isn't a day that a girl is not sending a love message to me. And I'm ignoring everything. Sometimes there's a rose that is being sent, sometimes it's something else, and sometimes something else. And you know, in the youth, what can happen? Jawani, Diwani, you all know about it. But I've been resisting all the time, Until this day, that when I was coming towards the madrasa, then there was a shout, there was a shriek, help, fire, help, fire. So that's an obligation. If you hear someone crying out for help, fire, it's an obligation to dart in that direction and give that help. So I went into that direction, and that girl that was after me, she just slammed the door, and she had about 5 guards around, all heavyweights. I didn't have a chance. You know, the fire, what's the fire? The fire is in my heart, that's for you. That's what's raging in me. It's the fire of love that is raging in me, and that's the fire that I was shouting about. So I've been shouting at you, I've been crying for you, I couldn't sleep because of you. You've been avoiding me all these days. And today I've got you, so you can't leave without satisfying me. So he thought for that moment, I don't stand a chance in front of all these bodyguards. What do I do? Now, this is that verse, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهُ. You fear Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala will teach you. He will work out a way for you. مَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهُ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. You fear Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, He will take out a way for you. You could have very easily said, you know, it's coercion, and I'm forced, and because I'm forced, therefore Allah Ta'ala won't hold me answerable. I won't be responsible for what I'm doing. But he's got the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala. He thinks to himself that, you see, I've got the charge in me, I've got the motivation in me, I've got the drive to do good, to recite the Quran Sharif, to get up for tahajjud, to make zikr, and to do all the other nafal, to leave out haram, to resist all bad things. I've got the charge in me, I've got the motivation. If there is a business deal that is coming up, I'm very conscious about it. Whether it is halal, whether it's haram. I've got that motivation, that drive that is becoming like natural in me. Now I'm going to get myself stuck up into this. That's going to just collapse in me. Now there will be an effort for me to get up for tahajjud. There will be an effort for me to get up for namaz. It's going to be an effort for me to do deeni work. It's going to be an effort for me to go out in jamaat. All these things will become an effort. Now it's like natural. If I don't go, I don't feel easy. If I just go and experiment in this wrong, yeah, then all that charge that I've got, all the drive that I've got will just break in me, will just collapse in me. Now what do I do? So Allah Ta'ala instilled a thought into his mind. He says to Zuman, you know what? This thing can only be possible if both are relaxed. Now I'm pressed to go to toilet, you know. I'm pressed, really pressed. So I can't be quite comfortable, and nor will you be uncomfortable. If I'm not comfortable, then you can't be comfortable as well. So just allow me, just show me the toilet. So she had a toilet, which rich woman, she had a toilet within the house. Go there. In the old days, there wasn't this type of flush system. The system that they had in the old days was the bucket, and that thing is piling up in heaps, it's piling up, you know. Now, you know, that it's such mess. You know, if our youngsters, if they have to see some toilet not clean, they'll run out of the toilet, right? To wash the next person's mess is very much more difficult. than washing down your own mess. Right? Your own mess, you can wash it down. But you show someone a toilet that's got a little bit of mess, and they don't want to go into that toilet. Though of their own mess, they will very easily wash it down. But the next person's mess, no, you can't. You feel it's impossible. You know, many a times I tell the students that when you're getting takabbur and feelings of pride and arrogance within your mind, then think to yourself that how can you ever be proud of yourself? Person like us, how can we ever be proud that every day we're taking out that mess, and then you can be the king of the time or the papa of the time. With your own hands, you have to clean up your own mess. The dirt that you don't want to see, you don't want to show anybody. With your own hands, you have to mess yourself, you have to clean yourself. So can you be proud of yourself? Can't be proud. How can you ever be proud of yourself? Anyway, he says, now the best solution here, what I must do is that, never mind, it's the next person's mess. I will take that mess and I'll polish my whole body. For that, there's not going to be any guna. There's not going to be any sin. Hadhrat Shaykh al-Hind, Mahmud al-Hasan Sahib, rahmatullah alayh, he was imprisoned by the English from Egypt right till Malta. He was taken by yacht boat, propelled by wind. And now in the advanced age, over 70, 75, nearly 80, battered, torn by the winds. So when he reached up to Malta, his student that was in his khidmat, Hussein Ahmad Madani Sahib, rahmatullahi, Shaykh al-Islam, he cried and said, Ustad, you know, for you to get into this difficulty, how can I take it? How can I see it? You're the Shaykh of so many great awliya and ulama. There isn't a buzurg who doesn't reach up to other Shaykh al-Hind, rahmatullahi. Any buzurg that you know of is all reaching up to him. Whether it's Muhammad Ilyas Sahib, rahmatullahi, or Muhammad Thami Sahib, rahmatullahi, Shaykh al-Islam, Madani, rahmatullahi, Anwar Shah Kashmir, rahmatullahi, Muhammad Shabir, Ahmad Usmani, all of them are reaching up to him. He's such a great personality. And this is what he's going through. So the Ustad's answer is something for us to write down in gold. He says, Alhamdulillah, pa musibat giraftarim na ba ma'asiyat. Alhamdulillah, I'm involved in a difficulty, in a problem, in a calamity. I'm engaged in a calamity, not in disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. I'm stuck up in difficulty. It's all right, no problem. I'm being torn, battered, and whatever, by the winds, by difficulties. Difficulties are pouring over me. It's all right. But Allah Ta'ala saved me from being disobedient to Him. So if I'm going to polish myself with that mess, this youngster feels that in the court of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, I won't be a disobedient servant. The drive that's within me won't be collapsing. I will still have that motivation. Because I'm doing this for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. All this dirt, I'm allowing this dirt to cover me from head to toe, but only for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. You know, sometimes I tell his youth, some of them, you know, they're mad over some woman and the woman is not answering, or they're not getting an answer, whatever. See, look at the obedience of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. For this girl that you're mad over, if she has to tell you, you know, come on a Jummah and parade the masjid, the central masjid of Parisburg, for example, most central masjid, only with your nikah, nothing else. I'm telling you, 95% of the youth will be prepared to do it. Madness. Jawani, diwani. So for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what sacrifice shouldn't we be doing? If we can do it for a girl, right? For a little bit of pleasure we can do it. Then can't we make that type of sacrifice for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So the youngster says, I went there and I took all the determination for the sake of Allah ta'ala, for His pleasure. I said, never mind. I don't mind. It's for my Allah Ta'ala that I'm doing whatever I'm doing. He polished himself from head to toe with that. Now he had to come out of the toilet. So she is commanding her servants and attendants, by his diwane ko nikal do yahan se. This madman, why you brought him here? Take him out of here. He was just waiting for that moment. So he says, immediately that happened, I went home, I threw out the clothes, I washed up, I made ghusl properly, put on new clothes. From that time till now, Allah Ta'ala has blessed me with this unique ether, this fragrance that you're experiencing. It's that moment of taqwa. The taqwa is just for that moment. You know, in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala speaks about the various Anbiya alayhi salam and their da'wat, right? So, the common and the unique thing in their da'wat is they're all inviting towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there are two Anbiya alayhi salam in the Quran Sharif. Allah Ta'ala speaks about them inviting towards Him and also discouraging them from the wrong that they were practicing. That's two Anbiya. The rest, it is just Dawat. Dawat towards Allah Ta'ala, oneness of Allah Ta'ala, Tawheed, and obedience to the Rasul of the time. But two Anbiya alayhim salam, it's unique in the Quran. The Quran Sharif instructs the Nabi that you invite them towards Allah Ta'ala, and you also discourage them and stop them from the wrong that they are doing. One is Hazrat Lut alayhi salam, أَتَأْتُونَ الْفَاحِشَةَ مَا سَبَقَكُمْ بِهَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ. And one is Shuaib alayhi salam, لَا تَبْخَسُ النَّاسَ أَشْيَاءَهُمْ وَلَا تَعْثَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُفْسِدِينَ. So one is that class of people that are engaged in sensual pleasure and sensual haram activities, and the other for corrupt dealings, dishonesty, corruption, treasury, etc. So these two works are so deplorable in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, corruption, the deceit, dishonesty, unfaithfulness. It's so evil, so deplorable, as though it's an obstruction in the way of hidayat. One is corruption and one is sensual pleasure, haram, lust. I was trying to work it out, why Allah Ta'ala speaks about these two? One is corrupt dealings, robbing, cheating, dishonesty, whichever way. But the fact that it is haram and we engage in it. Why is it that Allah speaks about these two wrongs in particular? Because these two wrongs are such that they will corrupt the very moral fiber of the human society, human community. It will just corrupt everything. There won't be any system left. If corruption gets into a community, tell me, will there be a just system? You can bribe anybody. Bribe the judge, bribe anybody. Will there be any system in any community? Will there be respect for life? There's no respect for life, because I can just go and go to any level, bribe the person and get out. I can get out with murder, I can get out with anything. Why? The whole system has become corrupt. So one is corruption in wealth, and the other is corruption in lust. Sensual pleasure, lust, indecent activity. Now why is that so deplorable in the sight of Allah Ta'ala? If that catches on, then that is the beginning point for the destruction of the human species. Because everybody is just after lust. Now, is there that person that's going to be worried and concerned about the direction that he needs to give to his children? No, he's not worried about it. Now he's just worried about his lust. It's just lust, nothing else, just that temporary pleasure. So he's not worried about children, he's not worried about procreation, he's not worried about giving that children some proper direction, some type of value, he's not worried about it. So this will corrupt the whole human society, human community. Therefore, Allah Ta'ala makes a special mention about these two. That where every other Nabi, when he's inviting, he's only inviting towards the oneness of Allah Ta'ala. But these two Nabis, they are inviting towards the oneness of Allah Ta'ala, as well as stopping their people from corrupt activities or lustful activities. So what we are getting at, I explained that instead of Allah Thami Sahib Rahmatullahi in Lucknow, you know. Now he's in a catch situation where this Kishore Sahib, he's accepted Islam, and his whole family has accepted Islam. Now if Mullah says, you know what, Islam doesn't allow this, then it's likely that these people may be disorientated, right? But if he allows himself to be watched by those girls, then it's not in keeping with taqwa. Like a man can have feelings towards a woman, you cannot rule out that the woman can also have feelings. Can you say that she doesn't have any feelings? You can't say that. Both have feelings. You know, in these two matters, brothers, whatever it costs, if you want prosperity in this dunya and respect, we'll have to be very, very cautious in this. You know, one woman didn't sound like a very old woman. She may be quite young from her voice. She's complaining that I'm in this organization, and the head of the organization sometime have to talk to him. But then he uses ambiguous words. I didn't want to ask who's that organization and who are you, it's on my way. So I heard a conversation. So she says, no, sometimes he uses the word, my beloved daughter. So now, that woman, she's sharp enough to pick it up. Okay, why is this man using this type of words, my beloved daughter? Beloved daughter can also mean that I'm compassionate towards you, I have some consideration for you, like I have consideration for my daughter. But it can have another meaning as well. So now she was sharp enough to pick it up. So I told her that since you're working from home for the organization, what you do is any communication must be via your husband, not direct. You don't allow that communication to be direct. And that was the system of Abu Sughanuddin, even in the matters of Islam, that girl is not relating to that Buzurg or that Shaykh directly. She's going via husband. She's going via husband. The husband must initiate it, she must see that letter, and thereafter he must reply. But if it is a direct relationship, then the chances of fitna is great. You cannot rule it off. You cannot say, no, there'll be no fitna. I'm beyond that. You can't say that. Wealth and woman, this both. Rasulullah warns this ummah. These are the two fitnas that I warn you of. فَاتَّقُوا الدُّنْيَا وَاتَّقُوا النِّسَى فَاتَّقُوا الدُّنْيَا وَاتَّقُوا النِّسَى. Be careful of lust. Be careful of wealth. This whole thing, you know, money makes funny. We all know about it. Man was going straight, and then suddenly that money came, and it just turned him upside down. He began to see life in a different way. This is a different perspective altogether. So, Mulana asked this Kishore Sahab, you know what, your daughter's wish to see me, but he's looking for an in-between situation, how he can escape this whole thing. But without the family, without him getting disorientated towards Islam, he says that they want to see me, but I'm sure they would also want to talk to me. So yeah, they want to talk. So Mohsen, I got the point now, and I know what to do. So you know, I've got a natural deficiency within me, that if there's a girl in front of me, there isn't a screen in between, then I can't just speak to that girl. I can't just speak to woman when there isn't a screen between me and the girl. It's a natural deficiency within me. So no, I will respect your feeling. Now, you see that taqwa, and the taqwa brought that inspiration. This is how you will cover yourself, this is how you will block yourself. A little bit of consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah ta'ala guides you. وَاتَّقُوا وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ. You fear Allah Ta'ala, He will take out away from you for you. Otherwise you can very easily make out an explanation for yourself. You know, I'm in a circumstance now, I can't help it. What should I do? You know, what should I do? How can I help myself? So you will try and cover up for yourself. You will sympathize for yourself. And in the other situation, no, you will fear Allah Ta'ala, you will have the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala will take out away from for you. I tell you, in these two matters, in the matters of wealth, in the matters of woman, if anybody is cautious, Allah Ta'ala will bless him with barakat. Not only barakat, but with respect as well. Any person, from a pauper to a king, if you are not scrupulous with respect to wealth or with woman, you lose all the respect. You're a king or you're a pauper. And if you are cautious in that regard, then anybody, and you'll get respect. Woman and wealth, you are very cautious, very careful about it. I'll just quote one hadith and we'll end up the session. This aspect we are talking about is asking, inquiring. Don't take a chance and don't pretend to know what we don't know. Sahaba Kiram were out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one Sahabi was injured. He had a head injury. So he inquired from his satis. In the morning, he discovered that he had to have a faraz ghusl. So when he saw that he had to have a faraz ghusl, he inquired from his satis, okay, I need to have a faraz ghusl. What do I do? See, I've got a head injury. So satis, they explained to him how they understood. And they told him, no, you'll have to wash yourself completely. You'll have to wash yourself down from your head to your toe. Otherwise, you can't get into the state of namaz. If you don't have ghusl, then you can't get into namaz. He went and had a faraz ghusl from the head to the toe. He washed himself properly and he died. So the style of the Sahaba-i-Kiram was, they won't hide anything. There was total transparency. You know, whenever I think of the Sahaba-i-Kiram, I feel Allah Ta'ala must bless them over and over again, millions and millions of times. Everything of theirs was transparent. They opened it, they showed it to us. And because they showed it to us, it's a great lesson for us. Every aspect of this, you know, it's so transparent, so easy for us to emulate and follow, that this was the way of the Sahaba-i-Kiram. So they brought the whole report to Rasulullah SAW, that this is what happened, he had to have faraz ghusl. He even inquired from this person here, and this is the answer he got. In the process, he passed away, he died. Rasulullah SAW was very disappointed. And he says, قَاتَلْتُمُوهُ قَاتَلَكُمُ اللَّهِ. You people have destroyed the man. May Allah Ta'ala destroy you people. إِنَّمَا شِفَاعُ الْعِيِّ السُّؤَالِ. The one that doesn't know, his duty is to go and inquire. When you didn't have the right answers, you should have inquired, you should refer him to someone else. But you took a chance. As a result, now this man is gone. You can't bring him back from the dead. So he did what was his faras. His faras was to inquire. But then it was you people that had misguided him. And as a result, he's died. So you're responsible for this. Rasulullah is very disappointed. You see. So the simple answer, simple solution, whether it's our spiritual matters, whether it is our ibadat, our matters that are pertaining to our physical ibadat, or even spiritual matters, to inquire, to go and find out, not to take a chance. Therefore, the mashayikh, they say that, I'll just read this one incident and end up this talk, that man la shaykh lahu fa shaykhu wa shaytan. You don't have a shaykh, you don't have a person to refer to and to take guidance from, then your guide is shaytan. Ibn Allama Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayh, he writes an incident under this verse, under this quotation, man la shaykh lahu fa shaykhu wa shaytan. Allama Ibn Kathir is a very, very great, authentic mufassir. Under this statement, he makes a tafsir. He gave an incident. This is one person in the old days had to go for Hajj. So he had a lot of wealth, and he had a young girl, young daughter. So the wealth he went and deposited somewhere. And the young girl now, 15, 16 years of age now, he doesn't know what to do with her because he can't take her along for Hajj. Women are in different situations, she's young. She may not be able to endure all the difficulties of safar. So he saw, no, this person is regular in the masjid, let me go and ask him to help out. So at first he shivered at the eye, no, I can't do this. But then he said, alright, since you're insisting, so he made a different apartment in his house. She must be there, and he will get the food across to her in the mornings and the evenings. Now the old days, you're talking of 5-7 centuries ago, you're going for Hajj, it's not a 1 month job, it's not 2 weeks job, it's 5 months, 6 months job. Going by plane, going by ship, coming back by ship, 6 months, 1 year. So after 2 weeks or 3 weeks, he thought to himself that this girl is in this apartment all alone. So if nobody's going to talk to her, she'll fall into a depression. So let me just go and make salam to her at least, you know. So after that second, third, fourth week, then he went to make salam to her. After 1 month, he said, oh, but I only salam and I don't talk to her. Kem cho, hara cho, kaise hai, tabiyat kaisi hai. So she'll definitely fall into a depression, you know. So he went to talk to her. One thing led to the other until that girl became pregnant. When that girl became pregnant, now he says to himself, now I'm going to get caught out just now, red-handed. So he went and killed the girl. Whatever, it's a lengthy story. But what I'm showing you is, here, he did not refer to an elder in deen. Okay, I'm in this situation, what do? Do I accept this girl or not? Had he referred to an elder in deen, he would have ruled it off by, under no circumstances should you take a young girl, leave her in your house. Because one thing can lead to that. Today you are in a state of taqwa, right? Tomorrow you don't know how your mind will turn around. In wealth and woman, both. You don't know how your mind will turn around. Many times I have to repeat this lesson in the presence of youngsters as well. That if you are alone in the house, you're not married, or your wife is not around, don't even let the maid be alone with yourself, because you don't know what happens. The hungry person, anything will do. You're hungry, anything will do. So you don't allow yourself any type of seclusion, even with that maid. She may not seem to be attractive, but you know, you're in that state. What can happen? So for our own iman, for our own protection, and for that motivation to continue, brothers, the simple thing is, these places of doubt, suspicion, don't entertain it at all. We have to have them in our businesses or practices, then a distance, reasonable distance. See? We don't talk to them in private. One-to-one, no. Even if it is, we need to keep them for whatever reason, right? But not alone, not in seclusion at all. There must be the third person there. And we repeatedly tell them, see, this is what our deen teaches us, that we can't be secluded with women. There needs to be the third person there. We can't be talking to you freely. We cannot be talking to you casually. So if we guard ourselves in these two respects, in wealth and woman, like I said earlier on, we are paving our way to success. We are paving our way towards righteousness, towards tawheed. The blockages that are coming in our way, we don't find the type of motivation, we don't find the drive. Many a times, I would say 90% of the times, is either one of the two things. Either it's woman or wealth. The wealth is ill-gotten or in some corrupt activity, whether it is the phone, whether it's some porn, whether whatever other evil activity we're involved in, that's just destroying and ruining that motivation and the drive that we have. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq nasib farmaya. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Salatu wassalamu ala Rasulil Kareem. Wa alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Rabbana zalamna anfusana. وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار اللهم آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين